Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. My name's Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. This week, we're hammering on a topic familiar to most Americans, brunch. Well, brunching is the inflection point of a much more serious conversation around climate change and its effects on the crops we, as human consumers, have come to depend on. I'm talking coffee, orange juice, wine, and avocado toast. Told you it was serious. Dana O'Brien is an executive vice president at BIO, B-I-O, Food and Agriculture.
A lot of the genetic sequencing that Congress has approved, that universities are working on, that gene editing helps to perfect, they're also combining that with artificial intelligence and data, blockchain, and all of the combination of that informational data with the biological data, and it's driving a lot of the positive outcomes.
Rising temperatures are making it harder to grow coffee, while pests and disease are ravaging coffee crops around the world. Here we go.
Sure. My name is Dana O'Brien. I'm the Executive Vice President covering food and agriculture at BIO, which is the Biotechnology Innovation Organization in Washington.
Yeah, we're going to get into some food and agriculture here in just a second, but in a macro kind of way, how are you feeling this morning? Because we sprang forward last night.
Well, I'm feeling pretty groggy, but I'm very thankful for my cup of Joe this morning, or my maybe my third cup at this point. I know you're 3 hours earlier, so you must be even groggier than I at the moment.
My car, the clock in my car does not auto update. So I got into my car to drive to work this morning, and it said 3:15, and I got immediately pissed off. I was like, I'm usually up at 4:15. But yes, right. I'm with you. Hey, you know what? You mentioned Joe right there. Let's stay there. Let's talk about coffee. Why is there a problem in the coffee bean industry right now?
Well, I think we can look for much of the work that our members are conducting in this space toward the climate and the impact of climate change and changes in weather patterns in this country, but across the world. And that is having an impact on the diseases that are impacting crops and commodities, but also the influence of insects and other pests. So there's just big challenges associated with climate change, and sustainable biosolutions are what we're looking at to really drive that positive directional change there.
You mentioned insects there. I saw recently that in a headline, I didn't dive into the project, but in a headline, it seemed like the insect die-off was increasing. Is that not the case when it comes to coffee?
Well, I think that insects generally are a huge concern to all commodities, and the more the weather changes, the more either the changes that in the insect population have an impact on the commodity crop.
I see. Okay, cool. Let's change gears and talk about orange juice. I literally was at a brunch yesterday, and I literally was slamming mimosas. So, how are we looking when it comes to a production of oranges and orange juice?
Well, I would say it's both the insect and the wine grape are at risk with respect to both diseases and insect pests. The orange crop in Florida and California is under tremendous pressure from citrus greening. The University of Florida, and as well as the University of California and other land grants and companies, are looking at different ways to get at that citrus greening issue. On wine grapes, same thing. They're looking at how can they reduce the use of synthetic pesticides by looking at genetic tweaks to wine and to wine grape industry or to wine grape production. And I think that gene editing is one tool. Different kinds of plant breeding, other tools are out there and really being utilized to try to use the best learnings that we have from the genetic sequencing of those commodities.
So from where you sit at BIO, what is the food and agriculture exposure to gene editing? Is it slightly taking hold, or is it well into use in R&D?
It's well into use in R&D. I would say that looking at the future and looking at where the agricultural and food sector are going, really identifying the best tools available based on the learnings from the genetic sequencing of plants and animals. And gene editing right now is the most advanced form of breeding that is out there. I think that we learned last week, I think maybe a week before, that one company has a heart healthy oil soybean that was improved using gene editing that is going to be on the commercial marketplace. That's really the only food crop that is on the market, will be on the market soon. But the R&D pipeline is intense right now. And frankly, San Francisco is the hub of a lot of the investment around ag and food tech, including gene editing, but, you know, more broadly throughout the value chain. I'll be out there next week. There's a big food and ag tech event that Rethink is hosting in San Francisco, where all the folks who are putting money into gene editing, into the food and ag sector generally, from the little startup companies to the big multinationals, will all be there, you know, moving money and also talking about the challenges that exist. So your area is really the epicenter of a lot of the investment.
Yeah, we can tell by the traffic involves too. Dana, let's talk after that conference so I can get your take on what you see and hear there, if it's okay. And before you even go.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, cool. Before you go, though, what's another piece of tech that you're kind of intrigued by? I don't care if it's a startup. I don't care if it's Series A or E. It doesn't matter. But is there anything that has your eye a little bit that you're looking forward to hearing more about?
Well, I'm fascinated by the combination of biology and data to drive solutions of the future. So a lot of the genetic sequencing that Congress has approved, that universities are working on, that gene editing helps to perfect, they're also combining that with artificial intelligence and data and blockchain and all of the combination of that informational data with the biological data. And it's driving a lot of the positive outcomes that are going to be at the heart of getting at the climate impact that we're dealing with now, and that will only get more challenging over the next several years as weather patterns shift. So for me, it's looking at that entire ecosystem of biology data from our end at the R&D, very beginning of the pipeline, all the way through the grocery stores, and how consumer trends are impacting investment in that space as well. So what we really try to do is work with not just our companies, not just with academia, but throughout the whole value chain to really set all of that in a positive direction for society. And just really quickly on gene editing, we've made an investment in an online platform, an online conversation that is really meant to embrace the skepticism and the questions and the optimism, all of that in one location. It's called innovature.com. It's a combination of innovation and nature smushed together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I would urge people to check out that website, to check out the online conversation that's happening there. We're trying to make sure the public understands what this sort of innovation is about and how it can help to really solve challenges that all of us care about.
You sit in a cool space where you're right. It's academia, it's the marketplace, and it's government all coming together to push to push everything forward. That was Dana O'Brien. He's an executive vice president at BIO, Food and Agriculture. BIO concentrates on changing environments and changing food preferences, as well as solutions to climate change that threaten how the planet produces food. You know, just that whole food air thing. And a quick note about this music bed you're hearing. It's actually climate change data being sonified, turned into sound. The pitch of the tone you hear represents CO2 concentration in the atmosphere, while the pitch and intensity of the plucked strings represent temperature averages. There's a link in the show notes as well. Okay, this is a chronological sound, so I'm going to start us off at the year 1900 and let it play out through the end of 2016. for links to Bio and to Innovature.com and Dana's own stuff, please check the show notes in the podcast or online at KGORadio.com. My thanks to Dana for his time and his work, and thanks to you for giving us a listen. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.